Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we continue with the book of Sirach. This is some of the great wisdom literature. When I say literature, I don't mean secular, I mean biblical. My son, when you come to serve the Lord, stand in justice and fear. Now, fear doesn't mean trembling fear. Fear means that I reverence, I respect who is most important. Fear is not the trembling and quivering, the personal fear that can paralyze us. It's an acknowledgement of something greater than myself. And so Scripture tells us, my son, when you come to serve the Lord, stand in justice and fear. In other words, give God the proper respect that belongs to him, what is just, and the reverence that belongs to God. Make sure that you offer both those things. But prepare yourself for trials. Because when we follow the Lord, when we really choose to put him first, some of our priorities are going to clash with the world's priorities. It's just the way it is. And who are we going to follow? To whom do we belong? I've said so often to you, if you try to straddle one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God, there's going to come a time when you're going to have to choose. Otherwise, you fall through the crack in the middle. So, my son, when you come to serve the Lord, stand in justice and fear, prepare yourself for trials. Be sincere of heart and steadfast. Incline your ear and receive the word of understanding, undisturbed in time of adversity. If you really are following the Lord, you know that the Lord knows everything you're dealing with. You cry out to him, you ask him for help, and you remain steadfast. You keep your eyes on him, not on the circumstances. Doesn't mean you ignore the circumstances. It just means that your priorities are, you're not being consumed by the circumstance because you're keeping your eyes fixed on the Lord. The Lord who sees all, knows all. The Lord who hears every word of every prayer you pray. He hears you. And that's where you put your trust. Incline your ear and receive the word of understanding, undisturbed in time of adversity. Wait on God with patience. Cling to him. Forsake him not, thus will you be wise in all your ways. Accept whatever befalls you. When sorrowful, be steadfast. And in crushing misfortune, be patient. I watched that happen in my own family, crushing misfortune. Be patient. Don't give up faith in God. For in fire, gold and silver are tested, and worthy people in the crucible of humiliation. Trust God, and God will help you. Trust in him, and he will direct your way. Keep his fear, that means reverence, keep his fear and grow old therein. You who fear the Lord, wait for his mercy. Turn not away, lest you fall. You who fear the Lord, trust him, and your reward will not be lost. You who fear the Lord, hope for good things, for lasting joy and mercy. You who fear the Lord, love him, and your hearts will be enlightened. Study the generations long past and understand. Has anyone hoped in the Lord and been disappointed? Has anyone persevered in his commandments and been forsaken? Has anyone called upon him and been rebuffed? Compassionate and merciful is the Lord. He forgives sins. He saves in time of trouble. And he is a protector to all who seek him in truth. So practice that. Seek him in truth. Persevere. Follow him. And he will bless you. Psalm 37 tells us, commit your life to the Lord and he will help you. Trust in the Lord and do good, that you may dwell in the land and be fed in security. Trust in the Lord and do good, that you may dwell in the land and be fed in security. I'm repeating that because I want you to hear it. Take delight in the Lord, and He will grant you your heart's request. The Lord watches over the lives of the wholehearted. That is, you're not divided. You're wholly given to God. Their inheritance lasts forever. They are not put to shame in an evil time. In times of famine, they have plenty. Turn from evil and do good that you may abide forever. For the Lord loves what is right and forsakes not His faithful ones. The salvation of the just is from the Lord. He is their refuge in time of distress. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. Takes faith, doesn't it? Why would God be concerned about this or that in my life? There's a lot of other much greater things. We're thinking as man does, not as God does. God can see all. The very greatest impending catastrophe down to the very, very smallest little pain in your finger. He knows every detail. And He loves you. So bring Him everything. Bring them everything. He delivers them from the wicked. He saves them because they take refuge in Him. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 to 37. Jesus and His disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee. But He did not wish anyone to know about it. Why? Because He wanted some quiet time so He could teach His disciples. He was teaching His disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill Him. And 3 days after His death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying. They didn't understand what He just said. But they were afraid to question Him. Wonder why they were afraid to question Him. Maybe it was because they had asked all the questions before and they couldn't quite understand the answers. But Jesus was revealing Himself. And it was one of the apostles like John. John paid attention. John listened. John weighed. John pondered. He was known as the beloved disciple. Jesus was able to draw him very close to Himself because John listened, John weighed. Many people were just looking for immediate answers, and many of His disciples looking for immediate answers to things, rather than, "Lord, let me know You better. Let me be drawn closer to You. May my relationship with You deepen." And then you're in a position to understand more how God acts and what His priorities are, and you can cooperate with them, and it brings you greater gifts than you were ever even asking for. But what it takes is time with the Lord, intimacy with God, that you might allow yourself to be known, though God knows it all. He did give you free will. Let yourself be known fully by Him, your strengths, your weaknesses. Talk them over with Him, your sins, your failures, your successes. Talk everything over with Him. Let Him into your life, completely into your life. And you'll know His mercy, and you'll know His peace, and you'll find refuge. You'll find protection. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, He began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" Oh, I wouldn't want to have that happen to me, to have Jesus say to me, "What were you arguing about on the way?" Of course, He knew, but He wanted to hear it from them. But they remained silent. And why? Because they were embarrassed. They had been discussing among themselves who was the greatest among them. Who did Jesus love most? Doesn't that happen to us? It happens to us all the time. What does this person think of me? Well, I'm obviously in the inner circle because this person asked me to do this or that, or this person stopped and talked to me, and so that makes me important. I mean, the disciples are just going through what we go through. But Jesus stops them on it. What are you arguing about on the way? But they remain silent, for they have been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. And then he sat down. He called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." You see, that's what Jesus did. Jesus came to be our servant. Jesus came to serve us, the love of God the Father. Jesus laid down his life for us. He withheld nothing that we might be saved. And so he's saying, if you want to be first in my heart, you shall be the last of all and the servant of all. In other words, you don't pay attention to yourself at all. Now, it's almost impossible for us not to do that. But at least we can get the needs of others as a higher priority than our own needs. But so often it is that we take care of ourselves first. And then if we have any time or anything left over, we try to serve someone else. And we think we're doing good. Jesus says, reverse that order. Reach out and serve those in need before you look to yourself. In other words, get your priorities clear. God, others, and then me. Think about it. That's where you're going to be the happiest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." And taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around the child, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." A child was unimportant. Now, that's not objectively true. But in many ways, we don't think about children who often are the neediest. We don't think of them. We don't prioritize it that way. It's what I need, what I want, what I desire. And that kind of selfishness just clouds over everything else. That's often the way we are. And Jesus is saying, when you are kind even to those that the world does not deem important, when you are good to them, you are being good to me. You are serving me. Even when you're serving what the world will not see, will not pay attention to, and would ignore, but it's a human being. If you serve, you are taking on my priorities. And when you do that, you are doing it for me. You see what Jesus is saying? Don't get so caught up in your place in the world. Get caught up in looking for the needs of others, caring for the needs of others. Put that first, and God will be very present to you. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, to obtain my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That is 1-800-282-4789. Faith More Precious Than Gold. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net, and then click on free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold.